You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Sometimes you get emails out of nowhere. You know, I got this movie and I wondered if there's any chance you guys would think about covering it. In this case, it was this guy found me, said, yeah, I'm helping my buddy who's a producer, who's like apparently a really well-known producer. I looked him up. I was like, yeah, he's been on a lot of big stuff, who is distributing this, I guess it technically is a television show from Thailand called Eulania or Eulenia. Written, directed by Paul Spurrier, who has the distinction of being the first Westerner, he's British, to make a movie in Thailand entirely in the Thai language, which isn't this one. It was previously he made two Thai movies called The Forest and Pea. He himself is an expatriate living over there. It was billed as the first horror TV series from Thailand, but it totally and completely I would not call a horror series. And about three quarters of it, if not more, is in English. So I really was unclear of what we were in for here. Each episode is like 45 minutes, 47 minutes. So it's basically the length of a long movie. Not even sure why it's a TV series. So mystery, I get intrigued by mysteries. It certainly seemed to be produced well and looked pretty. But I had to bring in some of these guys without them realizing quite the degree to which there was a giant question mark hanging over this film. Joining me in this dubious experiment, Davey.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Brad.
Hello.
That was a long hello. It was trailing off. It had a Doppler effect. Right? It was a drive-by hello. Hello. This is a weird-looking thing. It's shot on high-def video. It looks pretty. I was wildly unsurprised to find out this director has been living in Thailand for a long time and clearly is kind of in love with it, because so much of the running time of this is just showing how pretty and varied and neat the city is. You know, in particular, this guy's house. But let's talk about what that plot is. Alec Newman plays Marcus Hammond. He is a expat himself from Scotland, but a predatory one. Okay, here's the deal. He owns this big financial company called Eulenia, which was kind of a terrible name for this. Maybe it has a secret meaning I'm not aware of, but not a great name because people go, that name says nothing to me of what this show is. Anyway, so his idea is he's a huge philanthropist. He helps out people with micro loans. I don't know enough about finance to know the details on how that all works, but the idea being a very left-leaning rich guy, the Warren Buffett type, who's been living in Thailand in his big pretty house with his personal assistant played by Vithaya Pantsringarm. That's sure, why not? That sounds good. Who plays Boo, who, if you've seen Only God Forgives, he had a big role in there. He's been in tons of Thai movies. He was described in one thing I saw as the preeminent working Thai actor today.
Oh, that's cool.
They went all out in getting the number one Thai actor. So we find out from this guy, he likes to go cruising around in a big black van at night and look for young, but not underage, girls who seem desperate, bring them back to his house, and no, he is not picking them up to have sex with them. He goes and sort of wines and dines this first one that we meet in here, named Nam, who is impressed, although cautious, and it's like, what is going on here? Until he makes his pitch to her. I hate to say it's a spoiler, but there's no way to discuss this thing without spoiling basically what happens three quarters of the way through the first episode, as he goes, look, here's the deal. You can totally say no. No harm will come to you. You can go. I'll even pay you. But you can take this huge amount of money, like huge, ridiculous. You can do something to help a member of your family that will save their life. But the deal is you have to let me kill you. That's the deal. Okay, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about how clueless even left-leaning rich people are. We're talking about the colonization of the East by the West and the way that they handle those things. There's obviously a lot of things going on here underneath the surface. But the question, is this enjoyable? Because it's mainly conversation. But what do you guys think?
It's a ton of conversation. I think Marcus can be summed up by just being Ursula the Sea Witch. He looks for those poor, unfortunate souls and gives them what they want for something that he wants, which is to murder them. But, you know, young streetlight people, they already feel like they're driven into a corner. And I think that's the biggest conversation piece about this. His philosophy, I think, is rather silly, but maybe it's supposed to sound silly. What do you think, Davey?
The main thing I got from this is that you should never trust libertarians.
Yeah. I already learned that lesson the hard way.
Everything he says just sounds really Randian to me. Is this enjoyable? I don't think so. It feels like it's trying really, really hard to not talk about the perspective that a lot of people have of a white guy going to Thailand, but still also kind of being about that. Like you were saying, the implication of trying to have sex with people. He just seemed like a much more well put together and obviously murderous version of that SNL sketch where they had Rosetta Stone for Thailand and it's everyone just looking as disgusting as possible, being like, I gotta go to Thailand for a thing. It's the same energy, it's the same guy.
That's the curious thing here, because this three-part thing, when you get to the third part, which I'll be honest, there's like a good hour of this I feel like could have been cut out entirely and just make it a normal length movie and you would have achieved the same goal. But the guy is obviously trying to play him as very affable and even likable. You know, yeah. I mean, he is the most polite serial killer ever. And we find, yeah, he has indeed been done this many, many times. Like, he has no intent of killing anyone who has not agreed to be killed. And he's not putting anyone in an impossible situation outside of the moral quandaries that they're put in of like, look, you could really, really help someone else in your life with an enormous amount of money at the cost of your own life. But hey, it's your call. It's immoral even to ask someone that. And I think that's the point ultimately this is trying to make. But when it gets down to the nitty gritty of where he is defending his point of view to a protagonist character who's not even introduced on screen until halfway through the second episode, it never really sells. She never really sells either. She comes across as going like, but it's wrong. I mean, she's certainly not as well read as this main character is. But even so, it kind of makes this whole... this is the point of this exercise, somewhat toothless.
No, I agree. Like her saying, fuck you, dude, would have been more, albeit very juvenile of a response, better than her confused, what? I don't know. Killing people seems bad. And I'm not sure if maybe her action set pieces, though not very many, and very tame as well, or maybe why she got this part. Maybe this was her first role for her. I don't know. It seemed a little bland, like they were both in different movies almost.
The way to do this clearly would have been to make it where there were two different actors playing the killer guy. One when the movie starts and it's early on with him doing it, and maybe he's in his 20s, and one much later when he's like in his 50s. And now the girl in question comes around and she has made herself into a powerful person.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been the way to sell this and make this work. As it is, it's super awkward, the third act of the third episode, watching that play out, because these two are not on the same footing as actors. I mean, she's given it her best.
Yeah.
She's not, English isn't even her first language, and he is just dominating the dialogue in the scene. It's uncomfortable, and it doesn't sell the point they're trying to make. There are points I thought this was trying to sell the libertarian point of view, the Randian point of view, of like, sure, what's wrong with that?
It kind of does, honestly. Like, it feels like it never puts in the effort to rebuke any of his points in any meaningful way. So it's like, well, yeah, but like, this is bad. We, like, you know that. And it's like, yes, but... it seems like you're kind of agreeing with it.
Yeah, like I thought maybe she'd have said something like, dude, listen to yourself. You're literally admitting that money has corrupted you to being beyond saving. Your morals don't even exist. You decide they exist and that they don't matter. That's pretty gross, man. But instead, yeah, she just gives the childish answer. No, I don't think so. I don't know.
It's interesting enough of a concept that they've set up here, and I do think it's an interesting conceit, especially meta, yeah. Like symbolically, with what you could have done with this. If 20 years from now, this would never happen, but Aaron Sorkin was like, I'm going to rewrite this and put it out, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'd love to see that, because Sorkin would know how to write the shit out of that motherfucker. Yeah. This is just unfinished.
It literally ends on a... is this over? Is there a fourth episode I didn't get?
I had to contact the mysterious Facebook person who contacted me about this, because on IMDb, it lists six episodes. it says there's three more coming. And apparently that was a misunderstanding based on one guy's review who saw it at one of the two film festivals it played at. But no, he assured me, that's it. There is just the three. I think it's a shame because this thing has got style to burn. I think it's gorgeously shot. I really, really like the guy playing the lead actor, Alec Newman. I think he is terrific in this part. I really like the guy who plays Boo, whose name I'm not going to mangle again, but I'll just say Vithaya. He is terrific in this. It's a cool concept. The first two episodes have a lot of neat stuff that happens. The first episode hooked me. I was like, well, this is different. Where are they going to go with this? Because the idea of this guy who's a serial killer who has worked it out to the point where he never has to actually go and exert himself at all. It's all just a business transaction. What the implications of that are, of what you're actually talking about, are fascinating.
I'm going to actually disagree with you that it looks good. That was the biggest thing for me, was the actual composition of the shots is not bad, but because it is high definition video and it's not been colored, I think, at all, or if it has, it's been very mildly colored, feels almost like a student film, like a really talented student film at points, but I couldn't help but shake that with, like, the acting is, like, none of it's terrible, but it's all completely tonally mishmash. Like, even the good actors are never really on the same wavelength. It feels unfinished in almost every aspect. I wish that I had more positive things to say about it.
Brad, are you, as he says, are you more with me on that, or are you more with him? I kind of got the feeling you were more with Davey.
Well, I'm definitely caught in the middle.
Mom, Dad, stop fighting!
Go back to your room, Brad. We're dealing with it.
No. I like the, well, I guess Marcus Hammond is the protagonist of this. I think he's interesting. I like it when crazy people aren't twitchy, but rather give signs that they're nuts with their words. Like the PSAs he puts out for his company, he sounds like a crazy person. But it's also a bank. Bank promos are often a little nutty. And I think Boo's an interesting character as well. I wish we could have got to know him a little better. Again, it's only three episodes and there's a lot to cover. You have the murder and then the revenge plot. So it goes by pretty swiftly. So I'm not mad at it. I certainly enjoyed the time I had watching it.
I did like the way this looked overall. I do agree it looked like unfinished in terms of color correction and things like that. But I think the way it was actually shot was quite nice. Part of it is that they had such a gorgeous place to shoot. I don't know where the guy's house was, but damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'd live there. Fuck yeah. I thought the lighting was terrific throughout. The way they chose to light all those settings was great. And a great use of music. They apparently got this Thai composer to reconsider this Italian Renaissance music that is actually discussed in the third episode, where it comes from. So it thematically even fits in with the storyline, but it's a different interpretation / composition of those pieces. And I really liked the way it was used throughout the series, but it did feel like it was rushed. It was like, this feels like something that definitely should have been six episodes. And like, where is this character that you're building to mean more than he does? Boo? I mean, there's insinuation in the third episode that sounds like there's two episodes we missed. The way they talk to him.
Yeah.
You're like, well, where's all that stuff? Maybe there is a much longer version out there. I honestly don't know, but it left me going, that was a fascinating little experiment that didn't work, but it was still fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I was waiting for the shoe to drop where we could find out, why is Boo close to this guy? And I don't think it's a spoiler, just a vague opinion. Work is work.
And also, he just likes to say, my Boo. Yeah.
If I ever become a rich serial killer, I'm going to hire someone and make them change their name to Boo so I can do that.
Davey, why don't you go into final thoughts?
Of the three of us, I obviously like this the least. I think there is an hour and a half cut of this that is pretty good, and I think there's a 6-hour cut of this that's pretty good, but the pacing for this is all over the place. It never seems to find its footing or its tone or its confidence. When I was watching it, I was in the headspace of, like, I feel like I should be taking notes right now to give to the director and be like, so this is what you need to do on the next pass of this so that you can make it a real thing. I guess real is the wrong word, but if I saw this in a theater or if I saw it on TV, there would be a part of me that would feel a little cheated. Like, I'm here for this higher quality stuff. I agree that the music is really good, and there are a lot of smart concepts that I just don't think are well thought out enough to sustain the pretty monotone and slow burn thing that it's going for. I think everyone involved in this project can and probably will make more talented things in the future, and in the case of a couple of the actors, have made talented things in the past. This just was a confluence of it seems like everyone's weaknesses and worst impulses coming together into just a not boring, but thoroughly confusing blob for me. So I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 scenes that aren't voyeuristic and sexual, but are also voyeuristic and sexual.
What about you, Bradley?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this a lot more than David. 3. Damn.
That's pretty filled with hate.
Yeah. The Psycho Killer. The entitled Psycho Killer, I think, is always a fascinating character. And I think Marcus Hammond, the character played by Alec Newman, pulled it off. I was very interested in what he had to say just to find out, what's up, dude? Are you bored? Do you know you get to do these things because you have money? Is it a sense of entitlement or some sort of daddy issue that all these Psycho Killer movies like to peek into? And we don't necessarily find out, other than maybe I need to learn more about libertarians. I did enjoy his PSAs. Like,
to be clear, learn more about libertarians, not libertarianism. So just trying to help you before someone starts sending you like pamphlets.
Yeah, I don't want to get a Facebook message from Brad being like, hey, have you seen this PragerU video? I think it raises a lot of good points. Like, no.
Well, we got 12 parties in Canada. Maybe that's too much. Maybe it's not enough. Democracy, number one.
I remember when we had that in America. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, back in the day. So I like that he is immediately an unsettling character, though, in a different kind of way. Like, he's like, hello, my name's, well, did I already forget it? Marcus Hammond with Yulena. Yulena Banking. Come bank with us, even if you're a gross pov. I don't mind the smell. And right away, he's putting up, like, red flags. You know what
I
mean?
Is that your Scottish accent?
He just doesn't have any respect for human life.
He's Scottish, so he's like, put another shrimp on the bobby, you fucking Wally.
I will say, I would have given this a 7 if he was wearing a kilt the whole
time. Yeah, he's in Outlander. That's where I've seen him. I really like that series. Watch it with my wife. I recommend it.
No, well, you didn't have to tell us that, Brad. We knew you watched it with your wife. Okay. There's no way you started watching that show on your own.
I might. Well, no.
Yeah, that's a good point. We know. It's fine.
So the final thought is, I like Boo, I like Marcus, I think the victims they try to set up aren't that interesting, and I think that's where this falls short. The ending is terrible. I, you know, live or die on these final shots, and I was just confused, like, maybe if I watch it again? I'm going to give this 6 sexy party invitations to 10 people who definitely shouldn't be there.
Obviously, Brad and I are closer on this one, but I think even we're a little bit different. I think I really disliked this last episode pretty much the whole way through. I was worried in the second episode, like, oh shit, is this just going to turn into a pretty straightforward revenge film? Because it felt like it was setting up something much more interesting. And then it starts to lead you, oh, it is setting up something much more interesting. And there's a moment in the third episode where you go, where there is a confrontation between these two characters that is conversational, and you're like, wow, this is where this is going to catch on fire. Because that's where, if you have a product like this that is so conversational and is so symbolic and, oh, here's what we're really talking about, then this is the scene where, if it's going to work, it's going to be, wow, that was cool and intense. That don't work at all. It's just kind of embarrassingly bad to watch it play out. And it's not that the actor's not giving it his all, Alec Newman. It's just not written well. And the actress working against him, as I said before, she can't keep up with him. It's not her fault, really. She's not given any material that's worth a damn. It's like they feel this way, but never really develop the arguments to make their point. And so at the end, yeah, you just have a sort of shrug. I don't know. I guess it's like this, which betrays all the better stuff that was happening in this before that. I do think you almost could watch that first episode as like a creepy one-off of an anthology show and go, wow, that was fucking pretty creepy and cool, and enjoy that all on its own. And that might be the best way to recommend this, in fact. But I did overall find this really interesting. I just felt so let down that it didn't stick the landing at all. And for that, I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 really psycho Italian composers. Did not know about that guy, but Jesus Christ.